share with us kind of your personal narrative, how you ended up in New York, and take a step back and talk a little bit about your background, too.
Wonderful. Well, my work has always been of an international focus. So I'm a Winston Churchill Fellow. So in the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to study and research skills and vocational education and training throughout the world. So that's taken me to Spain and to Greece, to Germany, Switzerland, all throughout different parts of Europe, and brought me back to the United States. I've set up programs in Australia and in Southeast Asia. And so my focus at the moment is very much around looking at ways to engage the 14 million Americans, some with college degrees, who are unemployed. And, you know, this is not even including people who are underemployed or people who've given up trying to find work. One of the reasons for that is that, you know, I'm working on varying interesting projects and working with some employers, really delving into what their skills needs are. And the models that I talk about in JobU are transferable to, you know, any organization or any company or any situation around the world. But each employer has a different skills need, and that's something that I'm sure you're aware of. And so the programs that I design when talking to employers very much look at how they can create some competitive advantage and how they can use human capital and developing the next generation of workers as a real tool to help their business move forward in fairly challenging times.
Well, Nick, you know what? I've been an executive recruiter, a career coach now for many, many years, and you know, I'm sure you have a real good sense of what's happened in the workplace and really with the economy the last number of years, in that I think this new economy we find ourselves in is really kind of based on change and creativity. Things are changing so quickly. And because of that, skills, the need for new skills are changing so quickly. You know, the days of working at the Raytheons of the world for 25 years or 30 years really, in most cases, are over. So there's going to be a tremendous need for, you know, people in the workplace to kind of change with the times. In other words, to create the skills they need to continue to be marketable. So, so talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on older workers, you know, people who have been, you know, maybe they've been a materials manager for the last 20 years, or maybe they were a financial analyst or even a salesperson. And, you know, because of all the changes within the economy, then there's these new technology, there's technological advances that we all have to make from a career perspective so we can be more efficient. So talk about older workers and what they need to do to continue to be marketable.
Well, I think you're absolutely spot on that the shape and nature of the workforce is changing, and we're about to see, after 140 years of dominance, the Chinese economy is about to become the largest economy in the world, surpassing the US in the next while. So that really is changing the types of jobs. So for people who are, you know, we've talked about some high school graduates, but your question's around midlife career changes. There really are new pathways to job security. And also for the economy, you know, towards economic prosperity. But the message in my book is it's never too late to skill up. And there's so many opportunities for people, regardless of what stage they are in their career, to look at further occupational learning, you know, refresh or reboot your skills through on-the-job training. There's also an enormous amount of very good quality online education which is available. And there's also professional certifications, associate's degrees, apprenticeships. So no matter where you're at in your career journey, there's always an opportunity to look towards refreshing those skills.
Well, let's talk about the millennials now. Let's switch gears here on you, Nick. Jack Callahan, my co-host, is a millennial, and he graduated from college year and a half ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And he's come upon a workplace that was much different than when I came out of college. We won't mention how many years ago that was. But it's a whole different world right now. So, Nick, share with us some of your thoughts on millennials and how they need to really prepare themselves for what I keep calling the new economy.
Well, I think, sadly, many people are leaving our education systems with not enough skills or not enough practical skills required for them to actually secure employment. So I think that's really where gone are the days where people can go to four-year college and automatically come out and expect that they're going to gain employment. So I think people are really starting to seek out alternative pathways. And not that there is anything wrong at all with, you know, if you know the direction and you know the course of study, that's fantastic. But for a lot of people, they don't have a clear direction, and simply attending college and expecting that a job is going to materialise at the end of that period might not necessarily be the best investment of your time. So I very much talk about the right education at the right time. So in my own case, I left school and undertook a four-year apprenticeship as a chef, and that ended up leading me to executive education at Harvard in a round circle. So I think it very much is looking at the skills that employers need and really working out how you can best present yourself and have the skills that employers are looking for in this new age.
Yeah, Nicholas, that's really interesting to me as someone who has recently gone through that entry-level job application gauntlet, you know, post-college. And I'd be interested to see what looking back, what you suggest to the large number of American young people that you're trying to connect with who are out of work, what you tell them about, you know, how to change their process or what to focus on, as well as what you see them doing incorrectly or naively that they don't even realize?
Well, I think it really comes down to research, and it really is a different situation for each individual and depending on where they're at in their career journey. You know, my advice for people who are still in high school right now is to really look at all the information that's out there and try as many different career paths as you possibly can. For somebody who's already started college, it's never too late to look at opportunities. And I always say to people, if you're at college and you're looking for some part-time work, try and secure that part-time work in the industry for which you really see yourself working, because it's very much, I'm seeing in this current era, very much about relationships. And I think that employers that I meet, not only in the US, but worldwide, employers are looking for people with a can-do attitude, people who are reliable, people who come with skills such as communication and willingness to learn. And employers really will give someone a go. So I think if people, no matter where you are in your career journey, I think it's always important to, you know, present yourself and be well informed about an organization. So my message is, it's never too late. It's never too late to explore opportunities, regardless of where you are in your studies or in your life.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I find it fascinating, Nick, that, you know, growing up, being a baby boomer, there were a lot of repetitive jobs, what I like to describe as repetitive jobs, union jobs, where younger people could come out and make a pretty good living, and they didn't really need a lot of education, or they didn't need a lot of specific skills. But a lot of those jobs have gone away, good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, we have a workforce that is really emerging in so many different ways. Where we have a lot of people working from their homes, and we have a lot of younger people who may be, they come out of college and they may be consultants. They may be working for two or three different companies doing their social media, for example. So it's fascinating. And then we have this startup community that we have younger people, 25 years old, who are getting venture capital and are out there, you know, being disruptors or enhancers, however they want to describe themselves. And I just find it fascinating. I just see a workplace 10 or 15 or 20 years from now that will probably as different from what we're seeing today as it was 20 years ago. I mean, just so much is happening. So share with us what you feel are some of the keys. Let's stay on with the millennials here, because they're our future at the end of the day. What are the keys for the millennials to keep in a situation where they continue to be marketable? They continue to be aware of skills that they really need to have in order to increase their marketability, and also share what your thoughts on maybe what the workplace will be like 10 or 15 years from now.
Well, I think there's no question that, with international competition, businesses and the types of jobs and the types of skills are constantly changing. And I think if we look back at the last 5 years of technological change, I think that, if we extrapolate that forward and look at look into the future at the next 5 years, I think we ain't seen nothing yet. I think there's going to be this constant, rapid evolution. So one of the challenges is that, we find ourselves with employers unable to source, the types of skills that they need to run their businesses. So it really is a two-sided equation here. So I think for employers need to constantly look at the types of skills they're going to need and take a very forward-looking view to that. But for an individual, I'd say that they really need to look at skills that they can develop that can evolve as industries evolved, skills that can be transferred. So some of those softer skills I was talking to you about, such as communication, regardless of where things evolve, there's always going to be a skill in the way that people interact with each other. And I think that you can really future-proof yourself by ensuring that you have a really solid foundation of what I'd call core soft skills. And then as you apply that to a particular industry or trade, there's always going to be a change. If we look at automotive industry, if we went back 20 years, the automotive industry, if you looked on the repair side, was very much about grease and grime. Whereas if you look at an automotive career now in service repair, it's all about diagnostics and all about computers. So the skills that an employer looking to employ people in that space are now completely different to what they were even 10 years back. So employers now would be looking for people who have undertaken some STEM type of subjects whilst at school. So I think that, you really need to keep yourself quite broad. It's an absolute, true observation that you make, that there's gone are the days of one job careers, and I think that people need to really keep themselves flexible, open-minded, and be ready to integrate into rapidly changing workplaces.
Nicholas, I think you're getting towards a topic that I was interested in, but on your website, skillsresearch.com, you talk a lot about the middle skills gap. And I was wondering if you could describe that for us.
Well, the skills gap in general is talking about this labor market mismatch, or as I describe it, people without jobs and jobs without people. So this is where we've found ourselves in this incredible situation that I talked about earlier, where we've got 14 million Americans, some with college degrees, who are unemployed, and this doesn't include the people who've given up trying to find work. Yet on the other side of that coin, there are 3 million positions that remain unfilled. And then if we look at where the employers are in this equation, a quarter of these businesses in America say they have trouble finding people with the technical job-ready skills they need. So what does this mean? It means that we've got millions of people willing and wanting to work sitting on the sidelines, and they just don't have the practical skills required to keep the company staffed and the economy humming. So this is where we really need to look at this middle skills gap that we have, and really focusing on connectivity between our education programs and our workplaces. And in the book, Job U, there's a lot of specific reference to, I focus on case studies with organisations like Volkswagen in Chattanooga. I tell a story there about how they're working with the community. and how they're really engaging people in a new age apprenticeship program. Or organizations such as Siemens, or even if we look to IBM and their involvement with the P-TECH schools. This is really looking at connecting education with employers, and that's absolutely going to be critical for all businesses moving forward.
It's an interesting comparison there that the the apprentice programs that you're talking about might have a more current bead on the job market than the universities do.
Well, there's no question. If you look to countries, I'm certainly not saying that, Germany has everything, running ideally as far as their economy. If you look at, say, Switzerland, we might look at Switzerland. In Switzerland, apprenticeships actually fill before college type of opportunities. And you see that the retention rate of people who join apprenticeship programs in Germany and Switzerland is sitting up there in about 80%. And if you look at the unemployment rates in Switzerland or in parts of Germany, you'll see that's very low, in sort of 2 to 3%. And that is because there's such a strong tradition. And that is something that really in the United States is an area for focus, which is there is definitely some biases away from vocational careers. Where people or parents of students considering career options may actually have a misconception about what a particular career path might look like, particularly when it involves an apprenticeship. And so apprenticeships really are evolving quite rapidly, and we're seeing, if we look around the world, in the United Kingdom, for instance, apprenticeships have grown fourfold over the last 3 or 4 years. So we're seeing a huge uptake in people who are selecting to earn while they learn in an on-the-job environment, as opposed to sitting in a classroom. They find that that style of learning is more suited to them.
You know, Nick, I was an early adopter in my business of the importance of not only improving your skills from year to year, but just as important as your skill base is what you just talked about, is soft skills. It's very important to be a good communicator today, because a lot of the workplace is becoming so project oriented. You have to work with a team. You have to be able to connect and relate to a team. And then the third part that is just as important as your skill base and soft skills is your ability to network and develop a lifetime of networks that you maintain. Because one of the things that I have found now that I am a baby boomer is a lot of people 50 plus end up getting jobs not through Monster, not through recruiters, but through people that they know. And I think that's a whole skill in itself. So I think if you really focus on both those three areas, you can do some great things. And hopefully at the end of your career, you don't have a period of regret, that you realize you went out there, you had some fun, you made a good living, and you did some good things.
Well, I think, Mike, at the top of the program, you mentioned two words that really resonate with me, and that's about being engaged, and it's also about being happy. And I think that it really is important for people to take a step back and really think, what career path is right for me? And it's really about the individual. So one thing that I found when I was looking at my career pathway is there was plenty of people offering advice, but ultimately it was me who decided the pathway that I wanted to take. My father was an academic professor at a university, and he really didn't like the idea of me undertaking an apprenticeship. So he used subterfuge, everything in his arsenal, to actually try and steer me away. And I see so often, parents who, might necessarily offer some advice about careers to their children or to friends and family. But I think what's important for the individual is, in this digital age, there's a lot of information available online. People really need to research, research, research. And there is a lot of information, and in fact, there's actually information overload. But I think that people need to take on board and research what it is that's going to make them happy, and really apply themselves towards that goal. And vocational pathways are definitely something that every individual should consider looking into.
That's great advice, Nick. We're at the witching hour here. We have to end up the show, but please give out your contact information.
Right, so the book Job U is available for pre-order now at any large bookseller, and the book's website is jobubook.com, and there's information there on where I'll be talking and how to contact people, and I'd really be interested in hearing from people. I also spend a lot of time on social media, and my handle is Nicholas_Wyman at Twitter. So I'd love to have a conversation with listeners and really connect with people, because it's a subject that I'm really passionate about. And thank you very much for the opportunity talking with you today.
Well, Nick, thanks for hanging out with us here at the Best Workplace Radio Show. And, hey, I'll be in touch.
Thanks so much.